Happy holidays from WFHR. It's that time of the year when you share Christmas cheer with people that you know. No matter where you go, you can always see a glow in the people you meet as you walk down the street. The magic really shows. Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Since 1992, DoorWorks Incorporated has been providing, installing, and servicing residential, commercial, and industrial doors and openers throughout Wisconsin. They're located right here in Wisconsin Rapids, and they're fully licensed and insured. All of their employees are certified, trained technicians that are trained to install and service all types of doors and openers. DoorWorks Incorporated wants to wish you and your family a very safe and happy holiday season.
Called X. Now it is time for another visit between the servicemen who are spending Christmas overseas and their families who are wishing they were here in America. To bring you the second overseas pickup, we take you now to Westbrook Van Voorhees in New York.
At home, a lot of the fun of Christmas is in the suspense, wondering what is in this or that package, yet scrupulously obeying the injunction, do not open until Christmas. Overseas, the U.S. fighting man could hardly be blamed if he opened his Christmas box as soon as it came, GI packs being as heavy as they are. And long ago, long before December 25th, news pictures reached the U.S. showing GIs unwrapping these gifts mailed away back last October. After all, fruitcake tastes good any time, and socks and sweaters were as warm December 1st as they are today. So, far from home, their presents unwrapped. Today, for many a U.S. fighter overseas, is one more day of mud or dust, cold or heat. Food from rolling kitchens or K-rations. GIs in the U.S. have a fighting chance to call home. But all the transatlantic and transpacific lines together could never take care of all the fighting Joes overseas who want to talk to the best girl in the world, whether she's mom or wife or the girl next door. Now, here's Doug Browning again.
Thank you, Westbrook. Hello, Hal Peters in Paris.
Hello, Doug.
Who do we have over there to talk to in the way of some boys?
Now, we've got Private John Marsala of Brooklyn. He's here in the studio with us. He was wounded at St. Lo last July by a landmine, but he's absolutely all right now, and he's waiting to talk to his mother and father and his two sisters.
Well, by golly, we've got him right here. Here is his mother.
Hello, Mom.
Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
All right, Johnny. How are you?
Well, Mom. Don't worry.
You have a nice Christmas, John?
Yes, well.
I hope you got a nice Christmas and Happy New Year.
Good. How about you?
All right. We have a nice Christmas, John.
Well, how's Pop?
He's all right.
That's nice.
You're going to talk to him in just a minute.
All right, good.
Everybody's all right, Johnny.
That's well, Mom.
Johnny is, Nicky's in prison war, you know.
Yeah, I heard
He's
about
enjoyment.
It.
He's all right, Johnny.
That's well.
All right, Johnny.
Don't worry too much, Mom.
Okay.
How would you like to talk to Evelyn now?
Put her on, please.
Here she is.
Hello, Chip.
Hello, Eve.
How's the kid, brother? Chippy.
Hello, Eve.
Hello, darling.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Okay.
That's good. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, Chippy.
Same to you, Eve.
Listen, darling, I would have brought Patty, but she, you know how she is. She's starting to crawl around. But she's at Carl's mom's house. Do you want to say hello to them and a Merry Christmas, please?
Thanks.
They're listening in.
Okay. Who was that?
Carly's mother. Will you please say hello to them?
Hello there, Mrs. Ritter.
Thanks, darling.
Merry Christmas to you and Arthur and all the rest out there.
Now, how about Dad?
Here's Pop.
Pop?
Hello, Johnny.
Hello,
hi.
Pop.
Okay.
Gee, it's good to hear your voice.
Oh, yeah, nice. Listen, Johnny, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah?
You receive any money?
Yeah, I got it, Pop.
Okay, nice.
Don't send any more, though.
That's right.
All right.
Now, how about the other sister, all right? Here she is.
Hello, Johnny.
Hello, Angie.
How are you?
All right, how are you?
Okay.
That's swell.
Johnny, will you say hello to Charlie? He's listening in.
Charlie?
Yeah.
Hey, Charlie. How are you, boy?
I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same to you,
Take
honey.
Care of yourself.
Now you have 15 more seconds to say goodbye to Mom, all right?
Okay.
Johnny, take a care of yourself. God bless you.
Yeah, same to you, Mom.
Johnny, you received the package I sent you?
And,
With the scent?
Yeah.
Yeah, where, Johnny? Where you are, Johnny?
Huh?
Where always is it?
Yeah, I will, Mom.
God bless you.
Same to
all
you.
Right, bye, Johnny.
God bless you all.
All right, Hal.
Merry Christmas.
Who else?
Now we have private first class Francella and Justina of the WAC.
Right.
She's from Utica, New York, and she's a typist here. She's been taking notes in shorthand, so I think she'll have a lot to say to her parents and her sister.
That's right, Mr. and Mrs.
She's,
Justina.
We had hoped to get her fiancé up to the mic, but he's a flyer and has lots to do, and he couldn't get away for Christmas leave, so she'll probably get the message from him through her sister and her parents.
Well, here is Mrs. Justina.
Hello, Mother.
Hello, Franya. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Thanks. Fine. Good. How are you?
Fine. How's Daddy?
Okay.
How's this?
Who?
This B and Helen.
Everybody okay?
That's fine.
Stanley okay? And Mary and George? Uncle John and Sophie? Everybody okay?
Is Cousin
Your
San
brother
home?
John okay?
Is Cousin San home?
Yes.
And Aunt too?
Yes.
Oh, that's fine. How's Pug?
Okay.
That's well.
Here he is.
Send
right
you love
here.
Your kisses. God bless you and your comrade too.
God bless you, Mother.
Here's Dad.
Hello, Fania.
Hello, Daddy. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, fine.
Good. Merry Christmas to you and Happy
Merry
New
Christmas,
Year.
Daddy.
You know, Aunt Mary tell you the same thing.
Same.
George, Uncle too.
That's
you know?
Fine, Daddy.
John, Uncle too.
That's well.
How's you got a Christmas over there?
Oh, good? Very good. I got 9 packages today, Dad.
All right. Listen, Francis, you be careful yourself, you know?
Yes.
Because...
Have you heard from Bob?
No, Bob's not here.
He's not here.
Yeah, he's over there by the Jung, near you, I guess. He's over there. Well, goodbye.
Bye, Daddy.
God bless you.
Where's this B?
Be here.
Right here. Here's Benita.
Hello, sis.
Hello, sis. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. Isn't this a wonderful Christmas
that's
present?
That's the best Christmas present I got yet.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Is the cousin sent him home?
Yes, he is, and he sends you his love, and he says he's saving a bottle of champagne for you.
Yes, swell. And cousin Mad, too?
Oh, he's grand. He was home just a short while ago, you know.
Oh, that's swell, yes. I got a letter from Pensacola from him.
Oh, wonderful. Did you get all our packages?
Yeah, 9 today.
Oh, that's grand. You must have had a nice Christmas then.
Very good. This is the best, though.
Oh, that's swell.
How's your Helen?
Oh, she's just fine. They all send you their love.
Uh-huh. Likewise to them.
That's grand.
Well, how about Mother saying goodbye now, will you?
All right, bye, Mother and Daddy.
Goodbye. Goodbye, my dear. Bye-bye. Goodbye. God bless you.
Thank goodbye, Fanya.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Goodbye, Frank.
Bye, sis.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We pause briefly in the Blue Network's Christmas program for station identification. Again, we're starting the second hour of Christmas on the Blue. You'll hear Ed Wynn, Andy Russell, Charlotte Greenwood with Charlie Cantor, the famous Fred Waring chorus, The Life of Riley starring William Bendix, then Joey Brown, who will introduce more American families speaking with their sons in the Pacific Combat Zone. Here again is Gracie Field.
And now Christmas on the Blue has the pleasure of bringing you an intellectual discussion on the finer things in music. And this discussion will take place in New York between the famous Metropolitan Opera commentator, Milton Cross, and the famous authority on anything ridiculous, Mr. Ed Wynn. We take you now to New York.
Hello, Ed.
Hello, Milton.
Well, it's very nice of your sponsor Borden's to present you in Happy Island every Friday night and then to give you to us today.
Yes, I'm glad to be here, Milton.
But, Ed, I can't imagine what we'd have in common.
Why not? I used to be a musician, you know. I made my debut when I was 11 years of age in Carnegie Hall as a violinist. Didn't you know that? Oh, right in the middle of a violin concerto, Milton, the whole audience got up and walked out of the hall into the street. So I went out on the street and played the violin and chased the audience back in a hall again, you know.
Well, I didn't know you were musical.
Oh, my whole family is musical, Milton. My brother used to play one of those big violins. What do you call that, the biggest violin in the orchestra there?
Oh, you mean the bass viol.
A bass viol. My brother used to play one of those. He played it for 8 years, but the family made him give it up because it hurt him socially. You know what happened? Whenever he asked a young lady to dance, just from force of habit, he'd grab the girl around the neck with one hand and beat her on the back with the other. Just.
I'm sorry, Ed, but you don't sound like a musician to me.
Oh, there isn't a thing I don't know about music, Milton.
I have my doubts about that.
Well, you ask me a question. Go on, any question.
All right. What's the difference in the contrapuntal technique employed by Shostakovich in his Allegro con moto as opposed to the largo motivations of the fugues by Bach?
No coaching from the audience now. I'll get this thing here.
You see, you know nothing about music.
No, you don't think I do, eh? I consider myself... Hand me a violin there, Milton. Here's a violin. Here. You understand music thoroughly, I suppose.
Well, my... pretty good judge of it.
Do you hear that note?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear that?
Yes.
Well, you know so much about music. What opera is that note from? Huh? I guess that settles him. Just a musical ignoramus, that's all.
Well, Ed, that may be. But to strike a serious note for a minute, we have a special guest this afternoon, and I think you're just the man to introduce him.
All right, Milton. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you will permit me to drop my comic mask and appear before you as a human being. If I were asked why our next guest should be on this program, I'd say for one thing that he's probably the fastest up-and-coming young comedian in the movies. I think he proved that, and See Here, Private Hargrove, in which he didn't have the title role but got more attention from the critics than anyone else in the picture. I think he's also the most versatile young comedian in pictures, too. But I think that he's entitled to a spot on this great Christmas show today because at the present time, he is making three pictures simultaneously, also being an assistant director on another picture, and still found time to write a story, which is going to be made by MGM. That is why I think this young man should be with us today. And not because he happens to be my son, Keenan Wynn. Keenan isn't in New York, so we're going to try to contact him in California. Hello, Dad.
No, that's my line, Pop. I say hello, Dad.
Oh, I thought I'd say hello.
No, you got to kind of mix up.
There's my son now. Hello, son.
You got another line, Pop. You say, I miss you, son. I got to have the right cue.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Oh, I miss you, son.
Well, I miss you, Dad.
Well, I miss you very much, son.
I miss you very much, Dad.
You do?
Yeah.
Now I know how George Hardy felt when Mickey Rooney was drafted. I don't know. But I want you to know, Keaton, I'm very proud of you, my little baby boy.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
I got news for you. I'm no longer a little baby.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Since those days, I've added 25 years to my age.
Well, that's funny. I've only added 10 to mine.
Say, look, Pop, I hate to disillusion you, but I'm a man.
Oh, you always wanted to get old quick. I say you're a baby. Even when you were a few months old, you were the only kid who wore a dighty with a belt in the back.
Well, I guess I must have given you a lot of trouble when I was younger.
You gave me a lot of trouble when you were younger. You were certainly a problem.
Well, it was your own fault, the kind of education you gave me.
Why, what do you mean, the kind of education I gave you? There was no kid who knew so much as you. 2 years at Smith, 2 years at Vassar, 3 years at Wellesley.
Those are all girls' schools.
They were all girls' schools.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was no kid who knew as much as you. That's all I know.
Well, those days are gone. I'm an old married man now.
I can't believe you're married, son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you... My baby boy is married.
Yeah. And your baby boy has a baby boy of his own. little Edmund wins.
How do you like that? My son has a son. How do you like that? I gave my son a splendid education. I sent him to the finest schools in the East. I bought him 7 speedboats, 3 expensive foreign cars. I squandered a fortune on him, and that's the thanks I get. Just when I'm starting to go out with young girls again, he makes me a grandfather, the rat.
Well, you just gotta face it, Pop. You're a grandfather.
I'm a grandfather. Well, I don't feel like a grandfather. I don't even feel like a father. I feel young. I'm going out with girls. I dance to all hours. I'm having a great time for myself.
Pop.
Yes?
Does your vitamin pill taste different lately?
Does my vitamin pill taste different lately? Well, all I can say, son, is there's not enough room in this family for 2 comedians.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Well, I'm talking about you. Why don't you go into some other line of business? Are you sure you wouldn't be happy running a gas station?
No, no, Pop. I'm doing too well in Hollywood.
Yeah, I guess you are doing well out there. Yeah, I guess you're a big success.
Yeah.
Right now, I think you're a bigger star than I am.
Oh, no. No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Well, if you say so, Pop.
For heaven's sake, you didn't have to give in that easy, did you? You sure... Are you sure that you wouldn't like it better selling insurance?
No, I'm happy in Hollywood.
You're certainly making out pretty well, aren't you, son?
Well, you wanted me to make good, didn't you? Of
course I wanted you to make good. But there's such a thing as overdoing it, you know. Oh, Hollywood. I remember when I was working there.
Oh, well, things have changed since you worked here, Pop. They're making pictures with sound now.
Oh, is that so?
Mm-hmm.
That's a nasty crack. I wonder whether a father can force a son to open up a candy store. That's what I like. Say, Keenan, since you're a big shot out in Hollywood, I guess you know all the stars.
Oh, some.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask you about a Satan star out there.
Well, which one?
Well, I know you'll think this is silly.
No, I won't. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know whether I should.
Oh, go ahead. What is it?
Do you know Frank Sinatra?
Of course I know Frank Sinatra. Why, last time I saw Frankie, he took me to breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
You poor kid!
What? What do you mean?
You were being fed by a tube. Tell me, what else is new in Hollywood?
Well, let's see. Dorothy L'Amour is married.
Dorothy L'Amour is married?
That's right.
That's a shame. That's too bad.
Why? What's the difference? You didn't stand a chance with Dorothy when she was single.
Oh, I know I didn't stand a chance. But I can fire... Well, let me start that over again. I don't know. I feel so terrible about it. You say to me that I didn't stand a chance with Dorothy when she was single.
That's right.
Well, then I say I know. I can't fire a gun either, but I'm sorry when the hunting season is over.
Well, Dad, I hope New York agrees with you.
Oh, I love New York, son. I know everyone in town.
Really? Do you know Mayor LaGuardia?
Do I know Mayor LaGuardia? What a silly question. Every time I pass the mayor on the street, I tip my hat. And the mayor's hat tips him. Do I know the mayor?
Well, how's the family, Pop?
The family? Do you remember your Aunt Serena?
Oh, sure.
I mean, the one who walks in her sleep?
Oh, what about Aunt Serena?
Well, last night she dreamt she was preparing tin cans for the war effort, and she woke up and found she had done the most terrible thing in the world.
What was that, Pop?
Well, she dragged her husband to the bathtub, turned on the faucet, was stepping on his face, and then started to yell, "I'll flatten this one out if it takes all night."
I'll say, Dad.
Yeah?
I forgot to congratulate you on your 50th birthday.
Yeah.
I want to congratulate you now, Dad, and I hope you live another 50 years.
Well, that's awfully sweet, son. I'm repeating this for the New York audience. You're congratulating me on living 50 years and hope I live another 50?
That's right.
Well, I believe I will, because I feel stronger right now than when I started the first 50. I don't know.
Well, before I go, Dad, what else is new?
What's new? Don't you know that I've got the most popular radio program on the air?
The most popular radio program on the air?
Well, not exactly the most popular program, but it's among the first 10.
The first 10?
Well, the first 10 programs on Friday night, yes. Anyhow, it's got the biggest listening audience of any show.
The biggest listening audience of any comedy show?
Well, not exactly the biggest, no. Not the biggest listening audience. But we got more laughs than any show.
We got more laughs than any show.
Yes, any show like Inner Sanctum, yes, yes. And besides, the sponsor, think of this, Keenan.
Yeah?
The sponsor has given me a contract for 5 years.
5 years?
Well, it's really 3 years. That's really what it is.
3 years?
Well, not exactly 3 years, no. But it's for 2 years with monthly options.
Monthly? Monthly options?
Well, I'm on next week. You're not going to talk me out of that.
So long, Dad.
Thank you. Many thanks to Ed Wynn in New York and Keenan Wynn here in Hollywood. It is rare in this business of being funny to find such a bond between father and son. And it is impossible in this business of winning a war to find a bond better than a United States war bond. Buy all you can as soon as you can, so that our fighting men won't have to spend another Christmas away from home. Once again, from the sunny shores of California, we travel across America to the snowy sidewalks of New York, and there, if everything goes according to schedule, we'll find a young singer by the name of Andy Russell. They tell me Andy has broken all attendance records since he has been back in New York. He is a star of his own very popular show on the Blue Network on Tuesday and Thursday night at 7:15. And right now, he is going to sing I Don't Want to Love You. We take you now to Andy Russell in New York.
Do
love you like I do.
Back in Hollywood, now I want you to meet a young man you met earlier on the program. Right now, he is playing in his usual role as announcer on the Charlotte Greenwood Show. Mr. Wendell Niles, start announcing, please.
I guess you folks have been reading in the newspapers and magazines about the wonderful new homes we're going to have after the war. You know, with all the most modern scientific improvements, fluorescent lights, radiation heat, doors that open and shut by electronics, and hot and cold running mortgages. Well, in this next sketch, we're going to drop in on an average American couple who've been planning just such a post-war home. And so it becomes my pleasure to introduce my favorite comedian. As a matter of fact, I've been introducing her over the Blue Network each Sunday afternoon on the Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show at 3 o'clock Eastern Wartime. And I want to say very sincerely that it really is a pleasure to know her and to work with her. Here she is, America's First Lady of Comedy, Charlotte Greenwood. Well, welcome to the Blue Network Christmas Show, Mrs. Greenwood.
Wendell, what was that you just said?
Well, I said, welcome, Mrs. Greenwood.
Now, you know it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
And here is the other half of our sketch, Charlie Cantor.
Sweetheart, come in here, quick. Do you know what this is?
Yes, darling, it's a roll of paper.
No, I know we can't build now, but when we can, these are the plans for our new house. They've just been approved by FHA. Isn't that wonderful?
FHA, anybody we know?
FHA means Federal Housing Administration.
Oh, do they approve the plans? We're building the house, aren't we?
Sure, but they have to approve them.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this is the blueprint. I'll spread it out here so you can see it.
Mm-hmm. I don't want a blue house. I want a white house with green shutters.
That's what this is going to be.
We want a white house, so you bring home a blueprint.
Look, honey, it's going to be a white house with green shutters.
Where does it say that?
Doesn't say that anyplace. Now, look, honey, this is the living room.
Well, it's awfully small.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. It's a scale of 1 inch to 1 foot.
A 1 foot living room? Now, that's silly.
No, what I mean is every inch here is a foot.
Well, that's ridiculous. How can an inch be a foot?
What I mean is, whenever they mean a foot, they use an inch.
Now, there's no sense to that at all.
Oh, look, you will have to take my word for it, but this is the living room.
They're not putting anything over on you, are they?
Why should they try to put anything over on me?
Well, everybody else does. You remember when you bought that oriental rug?
Oh. That was a mistake.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is a mistake,
well,
too.
Well, now, look, darling, nobody's trying to put anything over on me. This is backed by the government.
You said the FHA.
But the government is the FHA.
Now, don't tell me that. Now, the government is the USA.
Look, the FHA is part of the USA, like
Oklahoma.
No, not like Oklahoma.
Well, Oklahoma is part of the USA.
All right. Never mind Oklahoma. Now, please, look at these plans.
Well, what are those things?
Seats.
That's impossible. You can't get them.
Can't get what?
Seats for Oklahoma.
Darling, will you forget Oklahoma? Those are window seats.
Well, where are the windows?
Right there.
Well, they don't look like windows to me.
Oh, look, you have to use your imagination.
You can't imagine windows. They have to be there.
Well, just take my word for it. They are there. Now, look, here is the fireplace.
Oh, now, that looks awfully small.
Don't forget the scale.
Oh, up the chimney.
But there isn't any chimney.
Look, that shows the chimney.
Oh, I see. Yes. With oranges growing on it, you save the price of a smudge pot.
Yes.
Look, sweetheart, that is not the chimney. That happens to be a tree.
Does that go with the house?
No, it's just the architect figured a tree would look good there.
An architect? What do we need with an architect?
Well, he drew up the plans.
You told me the FHA drew them up.
FHA approved them. Remember, everything works through FHA.
You know what we want. Why don't you make the plans?
Well, I couldn't make plans that a contractor could build a house for.
Oh, what do we need with a contractor? Already we have a lot of people hanging around, and it's supposed to be our house.
Look, a contractor's the man who actually builds the house.
I thought we were building the house.
Honey, please leave everything to me. Will you please?
Now, look, sweetheart. Look, Lenny Pie, this is the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have twin beds, aren't we?
Yes, of course.
Where does it say that?
Doesn't say it any place.
I thought a smart man like you would get everything in writing.
Look, honey, it makes no difference to them whether we have one bed, twin beds, or sleep on the floor.
Oh, well, then let's not have them.
Let's not have who?
People who made these plans.
Why not?
Well, if they're not interested in our house, let's get somebody who is.
Oh, please, sweetheart. Look at these plans. Now, will you please look with a good eye? Look. Now, look. Here. Here is the kitchen. See that?
Yes. Now, let's see. Now, where can we put the stove?
Put in any place you please.
Yeah, we can have an electric stove.
Well, certainly.
We?
The house is all wired with millions of outlets.
Mm-hmm. Where are the wires? I don't see them with a good eye.
They don't show the wires.
Why not?
Well, I don't know, but the wires are there. They must be there because here are the electric lights.
Mm-hmm.
And the very newest thing, concealed lights.
Yes, well, they can't be concealed very well. I can see them plain as day.
I know, but listen.
They're... First you show me wires I can't see and you tell me they're there. Then you show me lights I can see and you say they're not there.
Of course they're there. They're long tubes filled with a kind of a gas.
Gas? You said they were electric.
Oh, they are electric. They work through either AC or DC.
You said everything worked through FHA.
Look, darling, please, just forget about all that for a minute, will you, please? Look how convenient I made everything for you. Just two steps from the kitchen to the dining room.
Mm-hmm. Where's the door?
Here it is.
Where does it say that?
Doesn't say that any place.
Well, where's the bathroom?
Here it is, right next to the bedroom.
Why couldn't we put it on the other side?
Well, the kitchen is there.
Well, we could move the kitchen in here.
We can't, sweetheart. That's the dining room.
Well, put the dining room there.
And where would we put the living room?
Well, put it where the bathroom
is. It wouldn't
is.
Fit.
Well, we can make it fit. It's our house, isn't it?
Don't you understand? If we did that, the living room would face the back of the lot.
Well, turn the whole house around. Then we'd come out even.
Well, we can't do that.
Why not?
If we did, people would have to come in the bedroom. And if you wanted to serve a meal, you'd have to go through the pantry into the bathroom and through the living room to get into the dining room.
Put the kitchen where the bathroom is.
It won't work. What do we do with the bathroom?
Well, shove it back there.
That's no good. Then if you want to take a bath, you'd have to climb out the kitchen window.
I know. Make the window a door. That'll work out swell.
Oh, that'll work out swell. Where do we put the window?
Well, put the fireplace back there.
But that's the fireplace over there. That's where it was.
Well,
you can't have the fireplace there.
Well,
because you'd have to step through it into the kitchen, climb over the refrigerator to get to the bathroom.
Oh.
Oh, but wait. I know what we could do. We could move the bathtub over here. No. Then we could... No. Then... Oh, yes. Then when you went to bed, you'd have to hang your clothes in the pantry. And in the morning, you'd be taking your shower in the china closet.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
I've got a better idea.
What is it going to be? Darling, you tore up the plan.
Yes, let's go completely crazy. Let's try and find an apartment.
Oh.
In just a moment, you'll hear the final portion of Christmas on the Blue, featuring the famous Fred Waring chorus, The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix, Mr. Joey Brown, who introduces the fighting men from the Pacific Combat Zone, talking with their families in America, and a special Christmas number by Miss Gracie Fields, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, and the Paul Taylor Chorus. We pause now for station identification.
This holiday greeting from Misty's Menu has just one intention, to let you know that everyone at Misty's Menu sends to one and all this warm and joyful Merry Christmas. Visualize, if you will, the happy chorus the entire universe is singing today, all in praise and reverence of the Christmas story of our people. Misty's Menu is proud to join the chorus to send happy holiday greetings to you and yours. So from everyone at Misty's Menu, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
On the Blue with your mistress of ceremonies, Gracie Field.
On Christmas Day, it is our custom to sing the traditional carols, which have been handed down from generation to generation throughout the ages. I can think of no better group to sing these carols for you than the famous Fred Waring Chorus, heard each Thursday night at 10 o'clock, sponsored by the Owens Glass Company. For this special Christmas Day treat, we take you now to New York.
Nowhere, the angels did say was a certain poor shepherd.
In on a family that delights Blue Network listeners every Sunday night with big gobs of heartwarming laughter. So here we go for another adventure in the life of Riley, starring one of Hollywood's greatest comedians, the man you laugh at in Wake Island and Guadalcanal Diary, none other than the Beau Brummel of Brooklyn, William Bendix.
It's Christmas morning in the life of Riley, and the scene is the little living room in War Worker Riley's California bungalow. Riley, his wife, and the children, 13-year-old Junior and 16-year-old Babs, are happily opening the Christmas presents.
Oh, boy, look what I got from my school teacher. A penknife. Boy, it must have cost her at least $2.
Junior, it ain't how much the school teacher spent. It's the principal of the thing.
Oh, right. You said you're giving up those jokes for New Year's.
Oh, I still got a week. Hey, look, Peg, here's a present Snuffy Thomas sent me.
Oh, what is it, Daddy?
It's a pair of garters. What a cheapskate. Garters after what I gave him.
Oh, what did you give him, Pop?
Well, I gave him a holy smoke, I didn't give him anything. Gee, that Snuffy Thomas is a nice guy.
Oh, look, Junior. A dressing gown for Mother and Dad. Just what I wanted. Thanks, Mother. Thanks, Dad.
Well, I hope you like the color. It's my favorite. Paris green.
Olive green, dear.
Oh, olive. Yes. Then those little red dots must be the pimentos in there. What's that you got there, Dumplin?
That was something for you from Ike Shanahan.
For me? Well, let me see that. Well, for crying out loud, Ike must be nuts.
What did he give you?
A pair of wooden shoes.
Well, Riley, those are shoe trees.
Oh.
You put them in your shoes so they won't get out of shape.
Oh, well, that's a good idea, but how'll I get my feet in? I see what you mean. They're very useful, yes. Well, what are you looking for, Junior?
My present from Stuffy Evans. I don't see it.
Well, maybe he didn't send you one.
Well, he should have. A double crosser. I sent him an airplane book. Well, I'm through with that Stumpy.
Junior, that's no way to talk. You know what they say. Never look for a gift in a horse's mouth.
Well, Stumpy should have given me something.
Now, you take me, Junior. I sent gifts to all my pals. Waldo Binney, Muley Durkin, and Digger Odell the Undertaker. But suppose they didn't give me any gifts back. Would I get sore? No. I'd still be just as friendly with them like always.
Yes, your father's right, Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right. But Stubby should have given me a present.
Junior, I guess this is as good a time as any to read that new book my boss gave me. It'll teach you a lesson about Christmas.
Oh, what book's that, Riley?
That's this one here, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
Oh, go on, read it, Daddy. Dickens is such a fine writer.
You bet he is. I read all his stuff as soon as it comes out.
Daddy! Daddy, Dickens is dead.
He is, huh? These Los Angeles newspapers don't tell you anything. I once saw a swell movie that Dickens wrote. It was a good movie. You know, the one about that very nervous boy, you know, Oliver Twitch.
Twist, Riley.
Yeah, well, now everybody quiet, please. And Junior, you listen to this story because you need it.
Okay, Pop.
A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol. Page 1, Chapter 1.
Pretty dull so far.
Junior.
Go on, Riley. Read it, dear.
Old man Marley was dead to begin with. Come in. Well, if it ain't my pal, little Waldo Binney.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, how are you, Waldo?
Merry Christmas. Oh, my Christmas. Oh, my. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back.
Well, no wonder. Look at all them packages you're carrying there.
Well, I have a few dear friends that I must give presents to.
Well, now, if you mean us, Waldo, you're welcome here any time without presents. Now, which package is which?
Mr. Riley, first pull down the shade.
Oh.
What's the matter, Mr. Binney? Don't you want your wife to know you're out of the house?
Oh, Junior, don't you be disrespectful about Mrs. Binney.
Oh, that's all right. I don't mind.
Well, just the same, Junior was very rude. Tell me, Waldo, how did you get away from the old bat, huh?
Well, it's easier on Christmas than other days. See, I waited till she stepped under the mistletoe, mm-hmm. puckered her lips and closed her eyes, and then I escaped.
Waldo, old pal, sit right here in my own favorite Morris chair. You must be tired holding all them presents.
Oh, all the presents. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I almost forgot. Mrs. Riley, this is for you.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Binney.
And here's one for Babs.
Oh, thank you.
And one for Junior. Merry Christmas.
Gee, thanks a lot, Mr. Binney.
Oh, I just know mine is perfume. Mr. Binney, you're a darling.
Well, yes, I am. What's that, Mr. Riley?
Merry Christmas, Waldo.
Thank you. Thank you. Same to you.
You better take out the package you got in your back pocket, Waldo. You'll be more comfortable.
I haven't got a package in my back pocket.
But is it in your breast pocket?
I haven't got any more packages.
Oh, I see.
Riley was just reading us the Christmas Carol.
Oh, fine. It's my favorite story.
Yeah, it was a Christmas present I got, too.
Go on, Riley. Read it, dear.
Old man Molly was dead.
Merry Christmas, folks.
Why, it's Muley Durkin.
That's right. You're surely little Muley.
And with all them packages, he looks very Yuley. Come in, Waldo. How's about letting my pal Muley sit in the Morris chair? You can sit on that there footstool.
Well, yes, certainly. Then my feet can touch the floor.
No, sit where you are, Waldo. It's time for the presents, and there's no time like the present.
That's the kind of talk I like to hear, Muley, old best friend I got.
Well, here you are, Junior.
Mm-hmm. Gee, thanks, Muley.
Yeah, and this is for you, Babs.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Durkin.
And this is for your charming mother.
Why, Muley, thank you.
And Riley?
Yes, Muley?
Those slippers you gave me were nifty.
They were, huh?
Yeah, I thank you from the bottom of my feet. And in appreciation, Riley, old pal, there's something I want you to have.
What's that, Muley?
A happy new year.
Thanks. It's sure starting off good.
Well, now that Santa Claus Muley's bag is empty, he might as well sit down. I think I will try your Morris chair, Riley.
If Morris don't mind, why should I?
Mr. Riley was just reading us A Christmas Carol.
Oh, swell.
This story has got a message. It's about a miser who don't never give nothing to nobody. Are you listening, Muley?
Riley, go on with the story.
Old man Marley was dead. He didn't know when he was well off.
Greetings, one and all.
Well, 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 if it ain't my favorite undertaker, Digger O'Dell. How are you, Digger, old pal?
Hello, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
Well, I feel good, Digger. Say, you must be tired carrying all them boxes.
Not at all. I like to carry boxes. I do it every Christmas.
Oh, that's fine, Digger, old pal. Muley, you get up and let my best friend, Digger, sit in the Morris chair.
Wait a minute, where will I sit?
There's a log there in the fireplace. Why not?
Listen, Riley, I don't wear asbestos pants.
Oh, Muley, sit here on the sofa. Isn't it a lovely Christmas, Mr. O'Dell?
Ah, yes. Joyous Noel. I adore Christmas. It's so gay.
Sure is, Digger. Except it ain't like the old-fashioned Christmas where everybody gave presents to everybody.
I always give presents. What else is money good for? After all, you can't take it with you.
Well, you ought to know, Digger.
Every Christmas I paint the town red and green. That's why I'm known in the trade as a live wire.
Good old Digger.
Now, Mrs. Riley, this package is for you. Merry Christmas.
Oh, my, thank you, Mr. O'Dell, the same to you.
Something for you, Babs.
Oh, thank you.
And for little Junior.
Gee, thanks a lot.
And now... Ah, your cough reminds me, Riley. Here's something for you.
What is it, old pal?
Have a cough drop.
Thanks. Can I have it for keeps?
Riley, go on with the story.
What story?
Pop was reading us A Christmas Carol.
Proceed, Riley.
Old man Molly was dead.
Let's not talk shop. Continue.
Why can't they let this poor guy Molly rest in peace? Come in.
Mr. Riley, I have a package for you.
You have? Well, gee, that's fine. That's swell. That's wonderful.
I'm glad you're pleased, but for heaven's sake, stop pinching my cheeks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just so excited. Put it down here, will you?
Oh, my goodness, what a big box.
You said it. Oh, wait a minute, boy. Thanks for delivering it. And this dime is for you.
No, thanks. I couldn't take it. It would put me in a higher income tax bracket.
Well, well, well. Ain't that a big box, though?
Who's it from, Dad?
I don't know, but I know who it isn't from.
Oh, Riley.
Yeah, it must be from a stranger. Friends is okay, but believe me, the people who don't know me like me better.
Riley, I think you'd better open the package.
Yeah, sure. Well, what do you know? A whole big tool chest, complete with everything. Ain't it beautiful?
Oh,
I bet that set somebody back plenty.
Well, here's a card, Daddy. Who's it from?
Let me see that. Merry Christmas to Riley. We had you worried. Didn't we?
What's the matter, dear? Go on.
From his pals, Waldo, Muley, and Digger.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Boy, what a rip. What a rip.
Love, I thought I'd die.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a good one.
Well, Riley, what do you think of our little gift?
Ah, fellas, you shouldn't have done it. Boy, am I glad you did.
We want
to thank the entire Life of Riley cast for making Christmas on the Blue a merrier one. And now I have the pleasure of introducing a man who has traveled to every fighting front in this war to entertain our boys. He knows what it means for those homesick boys out there in the Pacific to talk to their loved ones here at home. So before we try to contact those certain men in the Pacific, I would like you to meet the star of Stop or Go, sponsored by McKesson and Robbins, and heard Sunday evenings at 8:30 over the Blue Network, Mr. Joe E. Brown.
Thank you, fellas, and thank you, Gracie, very kindly. And thanks to the Blue Network, I am privileged with the honor to wish every one of our great kids in uniform all over the world a Merry Christmas. Seeing them as I have, working and fighting in some instances under the most adverse conditions possible, makes you appreciate their magnificence. Each and every one of them, whether in combat areas or not, is doing his job or her job. Yes, when I speak of them, I mean the girls as well as the boys. God bless them all. Race, creed, and color are no dividing line. They're all Americans fighting shoulder to shoulder to preserve what we know to be the decent way of living. And I pledge myself that as long as I live, I shall never forget what they have done, nor the debt I owe them. Since this war started, many times we civilians have been asked to give to the effort, either with our blood or a little extra work, some task that to us may seem quite menial, or to buy bonds. I believe we should be thankful that we're living in a country where we have the privilege of investing in our country and its future. And at the same time, help bring these boys and girls of ours back home. And now, directly to you, our boys and girls of the Allied nations all over the world, officers, non-commissioned officers and men, wherever you fly, march, or float, I want you to know that a piece of the heart of Joe E. Brown goes with you. It is my prayer that we'll soon know peace. Universal peace on all of you. Our children will be home to enjoy a good snowball fight, baseball game, or the company of your loved ones. You know, I was trying to think of some new and different way of saying Merry Christmas. But I must confess I soon gave it up for... You know, there's only one way to say Merry Christmas, simply and with sincerity. But we have found a new way for saying Merry Christmas, though. Through the magic of radio, it has been made possible for two of our swell fighting kids overseas to talk to their families. What a thrill. Their loved ones back here. In our studios in Honolulu are Marine Sergeant Humphrey Steele and Leland Clark of the Seabees. In San Francisco are the families of these two men. And we're going to let you listen in as they talk about all the things that are dear to them on this Christmas day. Before we take you to San Francisco, ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls all over the world that are within the range of my voice, I want you to know that it's my desire once more to add my wishes and my prayers for a quick and victorious ending of this terrible struggle. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you to San Francisco.
This is Burton Bennett in San Francisco, calling in Blue Network correspondent William Ewing from Honolulu. Come in, William Ewing.
This is William Ewing speaking from the Sync Pack Studios at Pearl Harbor. We have here this Christmas morning in the studio motor machinist mate, second class of the Seabees, Leland Clark, who's going to talk to his wife and his family in San Francisco. Go ahead, Clark, and say hello.
Hello.
Hello, darling. How are you?
Just fine, honey.
Gee, I'm sure glad to hear from you. Isn't this a wonderful Christmas present?
It really is.
How are you spending Christmas?
Hello. Well, right now, I'm enjoying very much talking to you, darling.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I really got a wonderful Christmas present yesterday morning when I was told that I was on the evacuation list.
Oh, how nice.
That really just about floored me, you might say. And how have you been?
Well, I feel fine. The only thing that makes me feel better is if you could come home.
Well, naturally, I thought that. You can't imagine how I'll want to be home.
I know.
And, by the way, when is Merle to get his furlough?
Oh, he's home now. Captain Merle Ellis is home on furlough, and he'll be there until after Christmas.
Well, that's fine for him, isn't it? Lucky?
Oh, I should say. They're looking forward to having you come home, too.
Well, I'll probably miss it.
Well, we'll be waiting.
Well, that's fine.
Here's your mother, Clark.
Hello, Leland.
Hello, Mother. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
Just fine, and Merry Christmas to you.
And thanks, the same to you. And this is just the most wonderful Christmas present I ever had. I just feel so happy I want to say Merry Christmas to the whole world.
Well,
and
it made me feel real happy, too. In fact, I'm as nervous as a kid with a new toy.
Me too. Can you tell us some of your experience on Saipan?
Oh, well, there isn't much to tell down there. Tell about a little funny's part of it.
Yeah, tell us the funny's.
Well, my buddy and I went out, we got called up, and the air raid was coming over, and in the excitement of everything, he forgot his helmet, and our foxhole was kind of shallow, you know. So there was an anti-aircraft gun started going off in back of our foxhole a little ways that he didn't know was there, and he started burying his face in the sand. Every once in a while, he would rose up and blow the sand out of his eyes and nose and wipe his face off and say, "Clark," he said, "you don't take this serious." He said, "this is war," and with that, he'd bury his face in the sand again. I think that was about the funniest experience that I had down there.
Well, that was funny.
And our living conditions there, well, they weren't the best, and I guess they weren't the worst. We had a kind of a hard bed the first few days on the sand. And then we moved up to Tanapeg Harbor, and we had a nice camp there, except when it rained. And I guess I'll have to say goodbye now, darling, and Mother, and the best luck to you all.
Goodbye, and God bless you.
Darling, did you give the commanding officer my message?
Remember,
I want you home for a wedding anniversary.
I'll do that. Goodbye, I forgot.
Bye.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
What have you got there now, Bill?
Well, I've got First Sergeant Humphrey Steele of the Marine Corps. Steele thinks he's a little bit nervous, too, but he isn't near as nervous as I was a while ago when both of these guys got lost between you and the hospital. Go ahead, Steele. He's been all over the Pacific, but he had to get lost between you and the hospital. Go ahead and talk to your comrades there.
Hello, Ella.
Hello, Humphrey.
How are you?
I'm fine, and how are you?
Oh, I feel swell.
Well, that's grand. How's your leg?
Huh?
How's your leg?
Fine.
Well, is there any chance of you getting home?
Oh, maybe next month.
Early next month. Do you mean before the 5th or 6th?
Well, I can never tell. Can never tell.
Oh, well, you sound wonderful. Is Jerry with you today?
Yeah, he'll be with me this afternoon.
Sorry, fellas. You go ahead and keep talking, but we've got to end our show. Here's a parting word from Gracie Field.
Well, friends, it's really been wonderful bringing you Christmas on the Blue. It's been a great Christmas treat for me to introduce to your homes this afternoon so many stars of our Blue Network programs, and to hear the voices of our fine lads overseas exchanging Christmas greetings with their families here at home. Now, in behalf of the Blue Network and every participant of this two-hour program, I say a Merry Christmas and God bless you all.
This is the Blue Network. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeer are pulling on the rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stocking, say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that is filled with toys for the boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle jangle, what a beautiful sight. Jump in bed, cover up your head, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus,
here comes Santa Claus,
right down Santa Claus Lane.
He doesn't care if you're rich or poor,
for he loves you.